without the Lord. I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. When I look around and see what the Lord has done for me, I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. When I look around and see what the Lord has done for me, I don't know what I do without the Lord. I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. He's been so good to me. Round and see what the Lord has done for me. I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Come on, sing it with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory to God. Bring your minds in and give God some praise. Let your mind be stayed on him even now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, truly, as we sit and stand here today, we don't know where we'd be without you. Lord, we don't know what we'd do without you, Lord. Lord, when we look back over our lives, thank you, Jesus. And see all the things that you've done for us, Lord. All the ways that you've made. All the doors that you opened, Lord. All the impossibilities that you brought us through, Lord. All the hills that you helped us climb. Thank you, Jesus. All the valleys that you brought us through. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We couldn't do it without you, Lord. Hey, glory to God. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor today, Lord. We just want to say thank you. Hey, glory to God. At the end of the day, all we can really say, Lord, is thank you, Jesus. Some say that hallelujah is the highest praise, but We say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the times that we didn't understand. Thank you, Jesus, for all the things that we've been through that you helped us get through, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the lessons learned along the way. Thank you, Jesus, for building our character, for molding us day by day. Thank you, Jesus, for touching our minds, for touching our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for healing our bodies. Lord, even now, Brother Russ, we ask you to bless him now in the mighty name of Jesus. Regulate that blood pressure, Lord, like only you can. Because you give us the blood that's running warm in our veins even now. Regulate that blood pressure even now, Lord. Touch his body, Lord. Hey, glory to God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Brother Reese, Lord. Hey, glory to God. Help him to get through what they say is the flu, Lord. Help touch his body even now. Touch his mind, Lord. Help him to rest in you, Lord. Help him to know that his rest, his healing is in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Touch his body even now in the mighty name of Jesus. Sister Sherry, Lord, bless her even now like only you can, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whatever has to be done with the MRI, with the fusion, whatever has to be done, Lord, bless those that are in charge to do the right things. Bless her, Lord. Touch her body, Lord. Touch her mind. Let her be encouraged in her mind and healed in her body. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, we want to thank you for the victories. We want to thank you for Talia. We want to thank you for the Shinto family. We want to thank you for the Swadowskis, Lord. We want to thank you for all of the prayers that we've been sending up that you have just not only heard, Lord, that you continue to keep on doing great things. Lord, for all of us that are going through, for all of us that have been struggling, for all of us, Lord, that have looked to the hills from which cometh our help, Lord, we thank you that you not only hear us, but you care and that you love us enough to give us the grace and the mercy that we need to go on. Lord, we ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. And Lord, even now as we go into your word, bless us that we might take something home with us, that we might be able to apply in our own lives. Help us, Lord, to not come here in vain, but to come here with our hands open, our hearts open, our minds open, our cups out, that we might be able to take something from your word today and apply it in our lives, that we might be able to continue to walk the walk that you have given us to walk. Let self decrease that you might increase. We thank you for forgiveness of sin even now. Lord, we thank you for your saving grace. Bless us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. We thank God for being here today. We thank God for being on the Lord's side. Thank God for being saved today. I looked at Sister Jan when they were making the announcements, and, you know, Brother Fred, I'm not one of the sharpest tools in the drawer, but if Brother Reese is suffering with the flu and going through that, I just don't think it's a good idea for y'all to have prayer there tomorrow night. But that's just me. I know if I was home suffering with the flu, the last thing I would want is you church folk over my house while I'm trying to get through dealing with the flu. That's just me. And if I was the church folk and know that somebody at the house had the flu, the last place I'd want to go, I don't know, it's just me. I think you should have prayer meeting here tomorrow night. I think it's a logical thing to talk about, but y'all can handle that because y'all, it's your prayer group. But seriously, use wisdom. I know you do. I know. It's your prayer group. I don't care if you got a palatial estate. I still wouldn't want to be there, but not tomorrow anyway, but that's all right. It's your prayer group. You all do what you want to do. Just be mindful. All right. All right. Okay. Now, next week, you all going to be bothering Brother Fred to pray for y'all and things like that because, you know. But, okay. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. The Lord gave me a very brief and hopefully an encouraging word for all of us today. And we're going to go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews in the New Testament, towards the back of the book, Hebrews 4. We're going to focus on verses 14 through 16, but I just want to read the whole chapter because I think it's something we all can glean from. Starting at the first verse, y'all have it? Do y'all have it? Amen. All right. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, so if yours reads a little different, it's okay. Hebrews 4 says, therefore, let us fear lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has thus said, somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The 14th verse says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. We've read to you the whole fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Amen. I don't know if there's anyone else that's been going through a struggle lately. I don't know if there's anybody else that's been having some challenges in their lives. I'm sure you are, because that's life, and life is full of challenges. And maybe you've got a little discouraged lately, or maybe you've had a little doubt in your mind, or maybe you're just plain tired. Amen. The message I have for you is very simple, but it's very important to you, and it's just very simply to keep holding on. Amen. Keep holding on. I know it's so simple, but sometimes it's just all we can do when things are going on in our lives. Amen. Sometimes we don't, you know, we try to figure things out, but we can't find the answers. We try to understand, but we just can't understand why things are happening in our lives. We try to make sense of some of the things that we're going through, and it just perplexes us even more. And sometimes we try to figure out why this is going on, and sometimes we start to question God, and sometimes we just get tired. Sometimes we have a hard time finding rest. Amen. Sometimes we have a hard time just letting things go. Amen. Every day the Lord wakes you up, there's a war going on, and you are in the middle of it, whether you like it or not. Amen. It's a blessing that God has woke you up to see another day, but just know that while this day is going on, you're going to have the enemy who's trying to steal from you, to kill your influence. He's going to try to, what does he do? Steal, kill, and destroy, right? So everywhere in your life, he's going to try somehow, some way, whether it's through family members, whether it's through your job, whether it's through your health, whether it's through your thoughts in your mind, he's going to try somehow to steal, kill, and destroy the good that's going on in your life. Amen? But at the same time, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. God not only came to give his life for you so that you can one day go to heaven, but he also gave his life for you so that you can live abundantly down here. And abundantly doesn't mean having a whole bunch of stuff. Abundantly means that you have joy in abundance, so much so that you could give it to somebody else. You have peace in abundance, so much so that you can encourage somebody else. You know, these are the things that God gives you in abundance while you're living down here in this thing we call life, which is so hard and full of trouble. Amen? So, who are you going to listen to? Whose report will you believe about your situation? Because the enemy says one thing and God says another concerning you. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe CNN or will you believe Fox News? No, I'm just kidding. Not that report. But whose report will you believe? The enemy, while you're going through, you ever notice while you're going through, you have all kinds of thoughts going through your head like, this is just so hard. I've just been going through so long. Everything is exaggerated, it seems like. See the Bible describes the enemy as someone who seems like he's going about as a roaring lion, just devouring everything in his path. But it says, it seems like. He seems like that. And all the things that he brings to our mind, all the thoughts, all the struggle, all the things that he wants you to contemplate on, it seems like things aren't getting any better. It seems like things are too hard for you. It seems like it's been so long. It seems like it's just getting worse and worse. And the reason why he floods you with those thoughts is because he wants you to give up. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to say, I can't do it. I hear what you're saying. I hear what the word says. I listen to the lessons. I hear the word. But you don't understand. It's too hard for me. It's been too long. I've been going through so much. I just can't do it anymore. The enemy wants you to get to that place where you just give up. But God is saying today, hold on. How many of you have experienced in your own lives when you've been through a situation similar to what I'm talking about and you mustered up whatever strength you had, you mustered up whatever scripture you could remember, you mustered up any prayers that somebody had for you and said, you know what, I'm going to hold on, even if it's by a string, I'm going to hold on to what God has said, and he has brought you through that thing that seemed like it was never going to end, that seemed like it was too hard for you, that seemed like it was going to kill you, graveyard dead. He brought you through that all because you just held on just a little while longer. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Don't let it go. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. There's nothing more there's not a message that can be delivered more strongly than by somebody who's been through it themselves. Amen? So, he's telling you to hold on. He knows what you're going through. But I'm going to tell you this about Jesus. He'll listen to you complain. He'll listen to you cry. He'll listen to you tell him why things aren't happening fast enough. He'll listen to you, you know, with all your logic and all your knowledge that you feel like you know. And he'll listen to you even challenge him on some things. But he's not going to join your pity party. So do not ask him to hang out there. Amen? He'll hear you. He'll listen to what you have to say. He'll let you get it all out. But don't ask him to join the pity party because he has no parts of that. What he's going to say to you after you get done saying all that you got to say, he's going to say, okay, I hear you. Now let's go. Amen? And you're going to say, well, let's go where? Didn't you just hear? Yeah, I heard all of that. Now come on, get up and let's go. How do we do that? How do we get the strength that we need to hold on for another day? How do we get the strength that we need to believe what we know is true, even though it seems like everything in our life is going wrong? Well, the Bible says, let us therefore come how? Boldly, confidently to the throne of grace. You know what that means? When you go, you're expecting a change. You're expecting an answer. You're expecting, you're going to someone who can do something about it. Amen? You're not going to a doctor who's practicing medicine. You're not going to a counselor who's got a license to do. You're going to somebody that can actually do something about your situation. Now just know that it may not be on your terms. And it may not happen in your timeline, but he can do something about it, and he will. Trust him. Trust him. And while you're trusting him, while it's taking too long, while it seems like things aren't getting any better, while it seems like he doesn't hear you and you're yet trusting him, hold on. Just hold on for the ride. You know, sometimes in this way, you just got to hold on for the ride. Amen? What's going on? I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm just holding on. This is crazy. Are you? I know. I'm just holding on. I don't know any better but to hold on. Amen? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4 is all about what so many of us in this day and time need. It's about rest. It's about rest. Don't you know God wants you to have rest? Why do you think everybody's sick? It's not just, it's partly because of the weather. It's partly because of all these other things. But a lot of times we're not rested. We don't sleep. We don't get the rest that our body needs. Why? Because when it comes time after a long day of doing all that you have to do in your life, whether it's your job, your children, or whatever it is that you do, after a long day, you lay on that pillow and instead of resting, you think. You think about all the things that you're worried about. You think about all the things that are challenging in your life. You think about all the things that are not going right, and you can't sleep. Worry. Remember, he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He steals your sleep by letting you concentrate or dwell on the worry in your life. You're so worried you can't sleep. When you can't sleep, your immune system is affected. When your immune system is affected, you can't fight off disease like you need to do. You get sick. Your body breaks down. You can't go about in the optimum level that you're made to go about because your body is compromised because of worry. And most of the things we worry about, we cannot do anything about. That's the worst kind of worry, isn't it? I'd rather worry about something I can control. But no, we want to worry about all the things we have no control over. So all we can do is either worry or trust God. If you can't do nothing about it, if you can't control it, you're either going to worry or you're going to trust God. We need to get better at letting things go. Some things we just need to let go. Sounds easy. It's very difficult. Amen? Let go and let God. How simple is that? I can't. He can. Let him. Right? Simple. Right? How hard is that? Right? Difficult. Why? Because we want to hold on to everything. We want to try to change. We want to try to fix it ourselves. Most times we make things worse when we try to fix it ourselves. Hebrews 4 is about rest, God's rest. If there's anything we need in this day and time, it's rest. It's a hectic world that we live in. It's going way too fast, and It's threatening to throw some of us off. It's a troubling world. It's not getting any better, if you haven't noticed. Amen? Things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. Amen? Just when we think we've got life figured out, trouble seems to raise its ugly head in our lives. Amen? So what do? We turn to the only source we know that can do something about our situation. We turn to Jesus, who has promised us peace and rest when we need it. If we hold on long enough, someone is going to come to our rescue. We have to hold on to the Savior's promise. The Lord has promised us rest, but he did not promise us to take away all of our trouble. Amen? In fact, he promised us just the opposite. John 16 and 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Number one, right? One part of this, in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. In other words, life is hard, you're going to have trouble, but in me you have peace, right? So that's why he ends that 33rd verse by saying, even though in the world you will have tribulation, you can yet be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." How many are labor and are heavy laden? Whether it's in your mind or in your body, right? What do? Well, we don't worry some more. We don't worry ourselves sick. We don't do this or that. We come to him, he says. Come to me. Why? Because he says, I will give you rest that he knows you so badly need. Do you know some of you are sitting there today saying, I need another $500 to pay off this bill. I need this. And no, what you need is rest. You need peace. You need joy. That's what you need. God knows what you need. Yeah, we need finances to do what we got to do, but he knows that too. Amen. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Sometimes the Lord delivers us or those that we pray for, and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes the Lord delivers us or those that we pray for, and sometimes he doesn't. I don't know why, and neither does anyone else. Amen? Only the Lord knows. What he will always do, however, in the midst of your situation, whatever the case may be, what he will always do is give us the peace and the rest of heaven despite the terrible circumstances that threaten to break our hearts. So he may not always answer our prayer, but he will always give us peace and rest that we need in the spite of our situation. How do I know Jesus will do that for us? Because he has promised he would. And when, brothers and sisters, was the last time he broke a promise to you or anyone else? Can somebody say, if you don't know, you better ask somebody. So hold on to the Savior's promise. And the next thing, hold on to the Savior's sympathy. Yes, he does have sympathy for you and I. He will not join your pity party. He will not go into the dumps with you, but he does have sympathy. He cares. Amen? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Believers have a high priest who admits to being just like us. His flesh was weak like ours was, is. He was tempted like we are. He endured the trials of a difficult life just like we do. He is able to give us rest because he is the Lord. He knows what we need. So if he knows what we need and is able to give us rest, why doesn't he? Because too often we refuse to trust him completely with whatever is troubling us. Some of us are sitting there right now saying, you know what? I've been praying about this for quite a while. I still don't have no rest with this. I still don't have no peace. I've been struggling with this. I still can't get in. And you're questioning why it's taking God so long to give you what he has promised to give you. But his question to you is, have you really given it to me? Or have you just been talking about it? Have you been giving me that problem? Have you really given me that situation? Have you really turned it over to me? Or are you just been talking about it? It's been a long time, Lord. I've been praying about this for a long time. He said, yeah, I've heard you. Every day I hear you, trust me. When you give it to me, I'll take care of it. And here you are questioning God and blaming God. Why is it taking so long? What am I doing, Lord? I'm doing all that I know to do. What have I done, Lord, that you, why? He says, will you just give it to me? See, I say it all the time, but it's like me asking Brother Fred, I need your help with something. Can you help me with this? He's sure, I'll help you. And he comes over and he get ready to help. Oh, hold on, bro. I'm doing this, and it's still not working. He's standing there. And he's like, I got this. Hold on. And Brother Fred's like, I can see what's going on. I can, if you just step away for a minute. Now, I asked him to help me. He was nice enough to oblige, right? And then when he comes over to try to help me, I'm saying, wait. I'm doing it myself, and I haven't been able to get it done for who knows how long. I'm making things worse. He sees that I'm making things. No, don't touch anything. You know, and all I got to do, if I would just get out of the way and let the one that I asked to help me, we might be able to get something finished here, right? That's what we do with the Lord. We ask him, will you help me? He says, yes. Okay, hold on. Right? And then a month goes by and says, I asked you to help me a long time ago, and still, and he's like, I know. Right? He's like, just step aside for a minute and let me help you. Amen? Right? Let go and let God. So easy. I can't, he can let him. Wonderful words to go by. He is able to give us rest because he craved the very same peace and rest we need. Nothing will ever touch your life that didn't touch his in some way. What wounds us has also wounded the Lord, and this is why he can show us sympathy. Amen? Hold on to the Savior's promise. Hold on to the Savior's sympathy. Hold on to the Savior's mercy and grace. The scripture said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He not only can and will help us maneuver or go through whatever we need to go through, but he says, come boldly, come with confidence, knowing that I am the source that you need to come to. Two of the Lord's most outstanding character traits are mercy and grace. And goodness knows we need both. His mercy motivates him to forgive us, and his unmerited grace gives us freedom of access to his very presence. So how should we approach the Lord? Verse 16 says that we should approach him boldly or confidently. The word we translate as bold in this verse signifies frankness or bluntness. We can approach him and speak to him this way because we belong to him. Amen? You just need to stop going around the block to just say what you need to say. Right? Say what you mean and mean what you say, right? You can't always do that with everybody in your life, can you? Right? But those that are closest to you, those that know you, those that really have your best interest in mind, you can just be frank with them. You can just get right to it, and you can just say it, right? You wouldn't necessarily be able to do that with people on your job or people in the church or people, but with the ones that you can just say what you need to say, amen? No feelings are going to get hurt. Just tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you need. Right? That's how God is dealing with us. Just come to me and get to it. Fact of the matter is, I already know. I just need you to say it. I need you to come to me. Amen? He can help us. He says, look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Stop looking everywhere else but the Lord. Your help comes from the Lord. I know you think you have a friend that's got life all figured out. I know you feel like your family has got all the answers. I know you think you're very smart, intelligent, and been through a few things, but your help comes from nowhere else but the Lord. If you're seeking help and trying to do anything else before consulting him, you are out of order. And your situation will not get resolved until you consult him first. Don't call this one, that one, the other one, get all their advice, and then at the end of the day say, it didn't work out, Lord, where have you been? On that wall, two very simple verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I know you know the Bible inside and out. I know you think you're very intelligent. I know you've been through some things in your life, but lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, the one that can help you, the one that can do something about it, the one that can really help you maneuver through that struggle that you're going on, acknowledge him. And he said, if you do that, I will direct your path.
I will show you how to go about it. I will give you the words to say to that person. I will open the door that's closed right now. I will heal your body. I will speak to your mind. I will give you peace. I will give you joy. Most importantly, I will give you rest. I will direct your path. You don't have to be concerned about wondering which way to go. I will tell you which way to go. I will tell you who to talk to. I will tell you how to handle that situation. I will show you. If you acknowledge me, I'm the only one who can help you. Stop going everywhere else. It begins and ends with the Lord. He's the one. He's the Bible, you know, he's the way, right? He is the way. Not a way, he's the way. He's the only way. Stop going left, stop right, stop going left, stop going around the corner. Come to the source. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't go, you can't make it around any other way. You got to go this way. We prolong our own agony in life sometimes by trying everything else or going everywhere else except the place we need to go. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We're struggling with something. We're having a hard time with something. We'll go to Facebook and see what we can find there. We'll call this one. We'll call that one. Well, you know, can you pray for me? Why don't you just ask the Lord? Talk to the Lord. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. He promised you he would direct your path. Thank you, Jesus. What can we expect when we approach the Lord? Well, the one thing he promised us was help. And isn't that what we need? In verse 16, it's translated from a word which describes what's called a mooring chain. This was a chain that was used to moor a sailing vessel in place and kept it secure even in the worst of storms. Do you know that even in the worst of storms, even in the darkest times, even in the lowest valleys, that God can give you help to get through? This is what the Lord has promised to do for everyone who belongs to him. Remember what we said earlier. In this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. In other words, don't hang your head. Don't walk around with a puss on your face. Don't always be negative. Don't always talk about how bad it is. Yes, it's bad. It doesn't take a rocket science to see that things are bad, okay? We all know it. But in this thing, we can be of what? Good cheer. That's what we need. Good cheer. Somebody needs some good cheer. Why? Because he has overcome the world. In him, we have the victory. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm an overcomer, not because of myself, but because of him who has overcome the world. Amen? That's why, with all that's going on in the world, with all the bad news, with all, we can yet have a smile on our face, we can yet have an encouraging word, we can yet be of good cheer, because in him we win. Not that our lives are going to be easy peasy, not that we're never going to have problems, not that we're not going to go through struggles, but through it all, We can sleep at night. We can have joy. We can have peace because there's just something about the confidence of knowing that God is on my side. He's got me. Amen. You know that confidence that you have when you're about to get into a fight and you got the biggest guy on the block on your side? You know that kind of confidence? Yeah, let's go. Let's go. You want to throw? Let's go, right? You with God on your side, who can be against you? Can fear, can negative, can any of that stuff be? No, with God on your side, you win. You got to trust him. You got to let him. Amen. He wants to give you rest. Why? Because he knows how badly you need it. I'm telling you, I can testify of my own son. I said this before to you all. My dad died at a very young age, and he died just like that because of a heart situation. And for years, I thought I was having a heart attack. For years, I would rush myself to the emergency room thinking that something's going on because I thought I was going to have the same thing. For years, I went through that trauma, that fear, I mean, anyone that's been through panic attacks knows what I'm talking about. It feels like you're having what it is that you think it is. And, you know, one day I just said, Lord, I'm tired of this. From now on, Lord, I'm in your hands. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. If I die, I die. If it happens, it happens. But, Lord, I'm in your hands. And I stopped. I just stopped worrying about it. I didn't have to go to the emergency room anymore. I didn't have to keep going. I mean, I'm telling you, when I tell you I felt the pain in my arm, I felt the tightness. I mean, you couldn't tell me that it wasn't happening. And I would get there and they'd say, the tests are good. There's no blockage. There's no this. We're not saying that you don't, you know, but it's just not there. It was in my mind. And it just held me down for so long until I finally said, Lord, you got me. I got to the point where I don't care what happens, when it happens, or where it happens. I would be afraid to travel because I was afraid if I was too far away from the doctor that something would happen. I went through all that stuff in my mind. It can paralyze you. And finally, I said, Lord, I can't worry about this anymore. I give it to you. If I die over here, I die over here. If I die over here, whatever's going to happen, Lord, I'm in your hand, whatever. I stopped worrying about it. Wow, what a load off of my mind. You talk about getting rest. When you finally hand it over. Woo. You know that saying, it's like a piano coming off your back? I can relate. Because that stuff is heavy. Heavy. But when you finally give it over and just trust, put all your trust in him, say, Lord, you got me. You love me. You care about me. You want what's best for me. Lord, have your way. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And guess what? I started getting rest. Oh, you talk about I used to have headaches that I brought upon myself that I don't have anymore. Just stress and worry that I brought upon myself. All things that I had no control over. John Wesley said, I rest beneath the Almighty shade. My griefs expire. My troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, will keep me still in perfect peace. Amen. If you keep your mind on Jesus, the Bible says he will keep you in perfect peace. He didn't say that you will have a perfect life. He didn't say you wouldn't have trouble or tribulation. He didn't say that everything was going to go right all the time. But what he said is, no matter what the situation is, I will give you perfect peace. Do you know how good it feels to have peace in the midst of tribulation? It's easy to have peace when everything's going well. But when you have peace in the midst of tribulation, when you have joy in the midst of sorrow, that only comes from God. That only comes from God. Let us stand. In the 27th Psalm, David, who knew a lot about stress, struggle, tribulation, he started out the 27th Psalm by saying a very familiar verse. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Amen? But towards the end of the chapter 27, the last two verses, he says what many of us have probably said ourselves. He said, "You know, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord." In other words, you know, there's been times in my life I would have given up. I felt like giving up. I thought I was going to give up, but because I believed the word, because I believed what God has said, I held on to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you know how he ends that 27th verse? He says, the 27th chapter, he says, "Wait, wait, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, I say wait on the Lord." If you've been through challenging times, if you're going through challenging times, if you have things in your life that you're worried about, first of all, make sure you're doing the right process. Trust the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. And once you've done that, hold on. Hold on. I don't know how long it's going to be. Only God knows that. But go confidently, boldly to him with your cares, your concerns. Hold on. He promised he would give you peace even while you're going through. And when he brings you out, thank him and praise him. Matter of fact, all throughout the process. I don't know if there's someone here today that has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm just asking, have you accepted that gift of knowing that Jesus died for you, gave his life for you so that you might have life and that more abundantly? If you have not ever accepted that gift in your life, if you never acknowledged the fact that you believe that Jesus died for you and that he rose again, there's nothing you have to do on your end but accept it and say, yes, Lord, I believe. The Bible says if that's the case, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal hell and damnation. Saved from yourself. Saved so that he might give you that life that he desires for you, that you're on his side. I don't know if there's maybe one today that has not yet said yes to that gift, but if there's one, you can raise your hand. Today is as good as any day. One thing we know about life is that we can't do nothing about yesterday, and tomorrow's not promised to us. So today, the Bible says, while you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Is there one? Is there one? Let us all bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this day and for your many blessings. Lord, we pray that all of us can find a place in this message today where we are, and something we can take away from here today that we can apply in our own lives so that we might get the rest that you've promised us and that we so badly need. Lord, help us to clear out our minds. Help us to put all our trust in you. Help us to fully give the cares of our lives over to you, because you even said it in the word. You said, cast all of your cares on me. Why? Because I careth for you. So you gave us the opportunity, you continue to give us the opportunity to cast all of our cares on you. And Lord, help us to do just that so that we might be able to get the rest that we need to live this life, not just for ourselves, but that we might be an encouragement to someone else. So Lord, help us to retain something from the word today that we can take with us. And Lord, we again ask you to bless those that we've prayed for today. We expect change in those situations, change for the better. And we know that you're able. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in those lives that we've prayed for, Lord. Bless each and every one of us as we leave this place, but not your presence. Bring us back the appointed time. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Come on and give somebody a hug and tell them you love them, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Okay, don't anyone leave. We need a quorum for this brief express meeting that we're about to have.